From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Pakistan suffers another deadly school massacre. A gun and bomb attack on a university in northwest Pakistan Wednesday killed at least 20, including 18 students, and wounded dozens. The military says a group of four terrorists stormed the Bachra Khan University in the town of Sharsada. Troops gunned down all four and conducted a clearing operation to clear the campus. Pakistan's information minister, Pervez Rashid, called the attack an act of cowardice. He said the students he spoke with are determined and confident will pursue their education. It is unclear who is responsible. A Pakistani Taliban spokesman denounced the attack as against Islamic Sharia. More than 150 were killed in another school attack in December 2014 in Peshawar. In Afghanistan Wednesday, at least seven journalists were apparently targeted by a suicide bomber in Kabul. All of them died. The attack was condemned by U.S. spokesman Mark Toner.
Freedom of the press is a cornerstone to democracy. And despite such attacks, the vibrant media landscape that has developed in Afghanistan over the past 14 years will endure.
The Committee to Protect Journalists said attacks aimed at crushing independent media organizations are a direct assault on the very foundation of Afghan democracy, a free and open press. The bomber detonated explosives near a vehicle owned by a company that works for Tolo News, Afghanistan's first 24-hour news channel. The channel had been threatened after reporting on alleged Taliban abuses in its attacks last year on the city of Kunduz. The UN Security Council voted to reduce the size of its peacekeeping force in Ivory Coast following last October's relatively peaceful election of President Alassane Ouattara. The number of troops stationed in the West African country is being cut from more than 5,400 to 4,000 by the end of March. This is VOA News. Uncertainty over the timing of talks on Syria's future and the humanitarian crisis in that country are high on the agenda as Secretary of State John Kerry and his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, met in Zurich, Switzerland, Wednesday. A U.S. spokesman said the U.S. diplomat pressed Moscow to use its influence with the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to ensure immediate, unimpeded, and sustained humanitarian access to all Syrians in need. The meeting took place at a time of heightened concern that Monday's scheduled start of U.N.-mediated talks on a political transition is in jeopardy. Jonathan Edelman is a professor of foreign affairs at the University of Denver.
There's many opposition groups, and the Russians no doubt have them all raided. And so the less time there is to resolve it, the less likely it's going to be resolved. And let's not forget that at the end of the day, they want to either keep Bashar Assad in power or one of his cronies, which is where they might actually go. So the less that can be done to harm them, the better off they are. And, you know, their attacks have been fairly successful in going after some of the opposition groups.
There's widespread disagreement over which opposition groups should take part in Monday's talks in Geneva. Officials say the meetings cannot proceed until there is a mutually acceptable list of which anti-Assad factions will take part. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter and six allied defense ministers agreed in Paris Wednesday to step up their military campaign against Islamic State. The meeting followed the removal of IS fighters from the Iraqi city Ramadi last month. Secretary Carter announced a multinational meeting to broaden military operations against the IS group.
I've invited defense ministers from all 26 counter-ISIL military coalition nations, plus Iraq, to convene in Brussels in 3 weeks for a first-ever discussion among coalition defense ministers to discuss the opportunities that they and we have before us and must seize to hasten ISIL's lasting defeat.
And he urged Arabs to, in his words, get in the game, offering to help them better define what roles they can play. Singapore deported 26 Bangladeshis Wednesday, arrested in November, for allegedly forming a religious study group that spread the ideology of Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. 27 construction workers were detained without trial. One of them will remain in Singapore until completion of a jail term for attempting to leave the country illegally. In Nigeria, the state-run oil firm Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation said it shut two refineries in the southern city of Port Harcourt and one in Kaduna in the north because of sabotage. The announcement was made Wednesday after breaches discovered on Sunday. Asian shares recovered from Wednesday's sharp losses Thursday as the price of oil, crude oil, has recovered. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.